right, let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for our time. We especially appreciative of the practicality of this section that we're in right now. Very nut and bolts, rubber meets the road kind of stuff. And pray that it would serve us well to that end. And pray that you would give us wisdom as we think about these things and as we try to implement them going forward. Pray in Christ's name, amen. All right, we're looking at how to raise children to become wise, responsible, godly adults. I pointed out last week I'd kind of enhanced my title a little bit to focus on not just having our kids be godly and wise today, which of course we would want them to be, but that we have an end goal in mind here. We're moving toward a target out there, and I want to encourage everybody to take the long view. It's very easy to get caught up in the day-to-day, especially in something like parenting. It requires and demands so much of your attention and effort and energy, and it's very easy to become somewhat, you know, you're looking like what's in front of you and not thinking about down the road where this all leads to. And I think it's very important for us to keep the long view while we're dealing with the day-to-day kinds of things. So we're talking in particular about tools for training in righteousness. We've looked at a number of different areas. We talked about spanking and consequences. We talked about teaching and instructing. We talked about rebuking and correcting. And then last week, we opened up a new area, a bit unorthodox for a Christian child training study, I admit. As I said to you last week, I don't know that I can think of very many, if any, books on Christian child training that spend a lot of time in this area, but I just think it will be helpful to us, and so I want to just give it a couple weeks. And admittedly, this gets into areas where I'm not giving you a scripture and chapter and verse for every single thing I tell you. There are a lot of practical suggestions that go on in this area, but I don't think it makes it any less useful. In fact, if anything, it can be more useful in a different kind of way. And I talked about, when I talk about developmental activities, I mean, that's a bit of a vague title, but I couldn't think of anything else to call it. It's sort of the grab bag of what's left, if you will. And I told you we're going to talk about work, which we did last week. And we're going to talk this week about education. And then last but not least, we'll look at recreation. These are all areas where we can have activities going on that I think can contribute a great deal to the development of your kids if you capitalize on what's going on in these areas. So we looked last week at the importance of what I suggest is getting your kids started early, learning how to do work, be responsible for certain things around the house, have their jobs that they're supposed to do, be ready and willing to help you with things that come up, you getting involved in working with them, and so forth. And it's as though the writers of this comic strip were eavesdropping on our class. I couldn't help but share this with you. I read the comics every day. So this is Baby Blues, and those of you who raise young kids, I think probably would relate a good deal to this comic if you read it. Little girl comes up and says, "Do we really have to make our own breakfast?" And the mom says, "Yep, you guys are capable of pouring your own cereal and toasting a muffin." And a few minutes later, the dad comes, you know, they see the kids kind of skulking off. And dad comes in and says, "There's a rumor that you stopped loving the kids. And maybe if you, you know, especially if you hadn't thought about this area and decided to start laying down a law and making your kids do work, maybe you'd feel like this. I don't know." Hopefully not. I mean, as Stephen brought up last week with his little girl, if you start at a young enough age, they're kind of enthusiastic for wanting to help and work. They're not always very useful, but at least they have the enthusiasm, and you can kind of start them off on a positive footing. But there's going to be times when you're not going to be the most popular person with your kids, and that's okay. We're not running a popularity contest. Did anybody have anything else they wanted to say about having your kids do work? I think we kind of wrapped up last week, but we, at the end, you know, we, as we often do, we ran to where up against the wall on time, and I just felt like we needed to kind of close things off. So I wanted to give anybody a chance to throw anything out there if you had anything else that you wanted to get in or you thought of during the week or whatever. If not, that's fine. But anything else come up on that? Because we're fixing to move into a new area, so. No? Okay. Well, then let's move on ahead. Education. Great topic. So, we looked at spiritual education in the earlier section on teaching our kids the Word of God. And you remember the go-to verse there was Deuteronomy 6. And we gave you some other passages that suggest that we as parents have a very solemn responsibility to pass on to our kids a godly heritage, an understanding of the Word of God, an appreciation for the works of God, for the glory of God. And that it should just be something that's going on in various ways throughout the day. The Deuteronomy 6 passage conveys the idea of, you know, in the morning when you wake up, during the day as you walk by the way, in the evening as you go to bed at night. This is just an ongoing thing. And then we also talked about how, you know, I recommend you set aside special times, a family prayer time or quiet time or education time, whatever you want to call it, where you sit down and go into the Word of God with your kids, with your family, and spend focused time on that, dealing with things that aren't an issue at the time. It gives you a chance to do things at a sort of academic level, have some preparation go on as you prepare material and so forth. So we looked at all that, but all of that was focused, as Scripture's focus, on the Word of God, learning the Word of God, learning the works of God. In this section, we talked briefly about educating our kids in other areas of life. So we're going to broaden just a bit away from a strictly Word of God kind of focus or biblical principle kind of focus. And in these other areas of education, though we're not directly teaching our kids the Word of God, we should be helping them understand that ultimately everything in life ties back to a Christian worldview. So on one hand, we're broadening, and we're moving into areas that aren't directly connected to the Word of God, and yet we know ultimately everything in life connects to the Word of God. So in one sense, everything you teach your kids, no matter how secular it may seem, there's an undercurrent, or there should be, that ties all those activities and things back to a Christian worldview in some form or fashion. And so, just say that just to say we're not abandoning our focus on the Word of God, but we're just broadening a little bit. All right, so I hope that gives us some groundwork. Perhaps the first thing that comes to mind when we talk about education is our kids' schooling. It's not the only thing we're going to talk about, but it's something I thought I'd just put front and center because I think when you hear the word education, that's the first thing that comes to my mind, probably yours as well. And you're well aware, parents in our day would generally opt for one of three forms of schooling for their kids. Homeschool, private school, public school, broadly speaking. As Christians, I believe we have liberty to choose any of these three forms of schooling. Now, you may be out there thinking, well, you have a lot of passion for one of these three. So I think everybody ought to homeschool. I think homeschool is great. We homeschooled all our kids. It's fantastic, you know. And I could give you an amen. We've done homeschooling. In fact, in a sense, to borrow an expression, I don't have a dog in this hunt because we raised, four kids over a period of about 25 years that they were at home and we were schooling going on. And during that period of time, at one time or another, we did all of the above. We did a lot of homeschooling, we did some private schooling, and we sent our kids to public school at various times. Did all three. And I can tell you that we had positive and negative experiences with all three to some degree or another. I would say my impression is that homeschooling was the most positive overall. But there were reasons why we opted for the other. We'll discuss some of that. In fact, I'm going to give you, if you're, you know, sitting there with great passion in your heart for one of these, we're going to give you a chance to give some feedback as to why you like the one that you like or whatever. But I'm just telling you, I'm not going to try to dictate to everybody what they should do about this. Certainly, even if you have great passion for an area, you're not willing to go to a brother or sister in the church who, you know, like if let's say you're really big on private school, everybody ought to go to private school. Well, if somebody wants to homeschool, you're not going to go to them and say, well, that's simple. You shouldn't do that, obviously. This is something parents have to decide. When making this choice for our kids, we must keep in mind there are advantages and disadvantages to each of these kinds of schooling. So when I give you a chance to feedback, whatever feedback you give me, one thing I'm going to help you think about and bring out is there are advantages and disadvantages to all three. As a parent, you will need to decide which of these is the best fit for each kid at a given point in time. Now notice how I worded that. I don't think you have to make one-time choice for all your kids for all time. We didn't do that. You may decide you want to homeschool all of them for now. Or you may decide you want to homeschool this one and this one. This one's ready for public school. Yeah, you can split it up any way you want to. There's no limitations on how you do it. And again, I'm not saying one's recommended or not. That's a choice you have to make. I'm just saying the option's there. It's a valid choice. And here's the key thing I think we want to keep in mind. Regardless of which of these options you choose, you must always keep in mind that you, as the parent, are the one who is ultimately responsible to make sure your kids are schooled properly. So you're going to have to make a choice, and it's up to you. You're the one that makes the call. That's why God gave you the kids, because you're the parent. But whatever choice you make, you need to make sure that the right kind of schooling is taking place. So, for example, you decide to send your kids to public school. Well and good. You better watch and make sure what kind of influence is going on. What are they learning in that public school? Some of it's good, hopefully, or you wouldn't be sending them there. But some of it's not going to be good. They may be picking up junk from their teachers or their fellow classmates or what have you. And you need to be alert as to what's happening in their hearts and lives and be working to counteract things that are going on with them that you don't want to happen. Doesn't necessarily mean you're going to pull them out, though you may. You may say, man, this is not going the way I expected. We're going to change gears. Middle of the year, we're pulling them out. Next year, we're pulling them out. Whatever. And we're going to do this next year. That's fine. Just stay on top of it. Be alert. Be aware. And recognize, especially if you're giving, you know, if you're homeschooling, obviously you know what's going on in the home. But even in homeschooling, honestly, I think some people are better at it than others. Some people are kind of cut out with the way their personality is and their background and their home situation. They can manage that very, very well. And I've seen other people, I'm not talking about anybody in the church in particular, just other people out there, who I just wince to think about them homeschooling because they just don't do a very good job. They don't hardly take any initiative with their kids. They just let the kids, it's kind of like almost like the kids are just kind of off. You know, I hear read a book every once in a while. So if they don't do a very good job, then those people probably shouldn't be homeschooling. Or if they're going through, they need to do a better job. So even in that situation, you need to be looking at how are we doing? How are our kids doing in this situation? And even like with our kids, we homeschooled like Jason and Josh for a while. But when Jason got to a certain age, he's a bright kid, and Sandy was the one home teaching him. I was at work. And she just felt like, you know, she doesn't have a college education. Jason's the kind of kid we thought probably need to be under the tutelage of somebody who has more advanced knowledge in various areas. So we opted for a private school situation after a while. That's just an example of how these things can change and how you can look at them. So that's just a little bit of groundwork for you on that. So here's where I want to get some feedback from you. And then again, I'm going to try to pitch in myself and try to get you to see that there are advantages and disadvantages. And you don't have to necessarily put a black hat on any one of these. You can think through it more broadly and still make a good choice. So, what do you see as advantages and disadvantages? We're just going to take them one at a time. Start with homeschool. Looks like I started with in the list. Advantages and disadvantages of homeschool. This is, if you're passionate, tell me. If you're against it, tell me. What do you think? What's that?
It seems so obvious and hard to discuss.
Okay, why is it obvious?
Oh, man. Well, I agree and disagree with that. Because I think, yes, the overall advantages and overall disadvantages, I mean, most of them I think are very clear to most of us. But I think there's probably, like, I mean, I was kind of like going to throw something up there and have the shepherds talk, though. Because I think there are certain, especially after you've been in each of them, I think there are probably some advantages and disadvantages that we don't always see. I mean, I'm kind of interested to see if anybody has the disadvantages that they're thinking they'll verbalize about homeschool. But
our disadvantage for homeschool was I was working, and it's hard to homeschool if you can't homeschool. And Andrew was he's bright enough, he can do his schoolwork. But he asked to go to school because he was getting zero socialization. And I'm not about all, oh, they have to be socialized. But he was with family 24/7. He was never getting with kids. And he needed that. And I couldn't provide that because I had to be at home taking care of kids. I couldn't run into these opportunities homeschoolers have. And so for our family, that did not work for him. So we opted.
And that's an example of something I'm getting at. Even though you said it's so obvious, yeah, here was a specific situation, a specific time, a specific place for a specific kid where you felt like it just didn't work for you. And, you know, we're not going to come down on you and say, bad parent, you know, you should have quit your job and stayed home and homeschool. Well, I mean, some would say you should have, you know, but you make those choices, and it's kind of up to you. As I told you, I'm very positive on homeschooling. We had our most positive experiences with homeschool. But anyway, before I start blabbing, some of you have held your hand up. Go ahead, Natalie and Sarah, you had your hand up too. So,
from a homeschool background, one of the disadvantages that I've seen, I am very pro homeschool and I really would like to homeschool.
Sure,
it,
but okay.
This is just something I've been thinking through. Especially with a lot of the difficulties that our country is having today racially,
yep.
You don't get a lot of racial diversity. Even if you participate in all the homeschool activities, you don't get to really help your kids meet other kids and other nationalities and races. And I think that's so important. And
okay.
I've been thinking through lately, just,
we'll let you talk next, Stephen.
It's like, what, you know, how can I, if I do homeschool my kids, how can I encourage them and get them in situations where they're going to be around kids like that,
right?
You know, and so I've been looking at, or I've been thinking about different options, and I'm like, well, I don't really like the influences that they would get here, and I don't really, you know, so it's hard to kind of to think about the best situations to be able to put them in. That sounds awkward, but the best situations to put them in to where they're going to have to, you know, make friends and find commonalities and, you know, and
sure,
really work on bridging that gap.
Yeah, that's a legitimate concern. Yeah, Sarah.
I remember working at Family Council and Extension Education Alliance. I feel like every single day I came up with that's another reason to homeschool, because I just loved it so much. But the disadvantage that comes to my mind right now is, if you're just starting out, it is so broad. Like you can find 150 different pins on Pinterest on homeschool your kids this way, and here's this curriculum. Like, if you're not used to that, it can be so overwhelming to just get started to figure out what kind of learner is my child, and let's take three tests to find out if he's a visual learner or
yeah,
all of that. So it can just be daunting going
yeah
into it. Or if you've ever been to a homeschool convention, there's 100 different booths.
Yeah.
Before you know it, you spent like $500 that you didn't really plan for, and so it can be tough to get started. But if you kind of do it in little increments, I mean, I know, like, you started pre-K stuff, and we kind of do some a little stuff for Tabor, but just taking little steps along the way, and just the disadvantage can turn into an advantage, because you can try something, oh, that didn't work, okay, I'm going to try something else now. And, yeah.
Yeah, well, you're right. It puts a lot of responsibility on you, and all the way from having to, one of you has to stay home. Usually the mom does that, I know. And like you say, there's, of course, the greatest advantage is the greatest disadvantage in a sense, because there are so many great curriculums out there that you can choose from that aid you, so you don't have to make up your own stuff. All you have to do is kind of oversee what somebody else has done and make sure it's moving in a good direction, and you're happy about that. And then the other concern people raise is, I think you brought it up, is the socialization. Well, your kids are going to be all isolated. Well, they don't have to be. It depends on how you homeschool. We discovered early on a homeschool co-op where the kids can get out and have all kind of socializing with other homeschool kids. They were on sports teams. There was all kind of stuff available if you choose to get out and get involved in that. So it doesn't have to be an isolation thing, though some people, if they handle it that way, I suppose that could be a problem. You have to think about all those things. Amy, you had something...
coordinating with everything you said about giving your children jobs, all of that, life skills.
Yeah.
They don't get that in a public school or a private school. That's like nil. With special needs, we would have to pay $5,000 a year for them to teach Isaac how to load a dishwasher and load laundry in the washing machine because they have a little miniature house there that teaches them life skills.
Oh, wow.
Oh, come on. I can do that for
free. <Yeah.
laughs> Okay. That's somebody has a certificate. They're qualified. No. Your children are gaining some of the most valuable assets for life, how to live life. The education part, give them, as Carrie Tittle told me, when I had those same fears that Sarah mentioned, how do you start? I felt so swamped. And I was homeschooled my whole life, and yet starting out, what in the world am I doing? What curriculum do I, how do I do that? Everybody has these expectations and what you're supposed to do. And I remember she called me up, she's like, listen, she goes, when it comes to homeschooling, she goes, go easy. Just let it flow. She goes, it's about life. And if your child is doing well in one area, great, encourage them. But don't put all these expectations on yourself that you have to follow every curriculum, step by step, and you have to do a craft every day. And she's like, no, it's life, and just
sure.
Enjoy it. Your children will learn as they see you enjoying learning. The greatest thing you can teach them is to love to learn, to love reading, to
absolutely.
Love learn. Teaching themselves. That's the goal: to teach yourself how to continually grow. As an adult, that they don't stop learning once they have a certificate in their hand. It's all about preparing for life. That's what homeschool is. So that, to me, that's the benefit. The negative side of it, though, is that you as the parent, and mainly the moms, because we're the ones home all day, not the fathers per se, unless you have it arranged differently, but we're the ones who end up becoming the chauffeurs, all the extracurricular activities, how to balance that with life.
Mm-hmm.
That is a full-time job that
goes
24/7. For our circumstance, how it's challenging is one child wants to be involved with this, and I want them to pursue that avenue, but yet I've got all these others.
Yep.
So if we can't all do it together as a family, I'm sorry, we've got to make it fit.
Sure.
So that's one problem with Natalie is how do you get the diversity in the socialization? That to me, again, it would be a simple one to fix. It's life. It's how do you socialize on the outside? The people that you're talking to when you go to the park and your children are playing with, or we go to reading circle, anytime you're out in the community, your community then becomes your socialization because they're walking alongside you. So the people you meet in the grocery store and they talk to you, that's how they're getting diversity. It doesn't mean we have to have organized play dates. It's about instilling in your children that all people are equal and you talk to anybody on the playground and go make friends. Go ask them if they like this. Hey,
sure.
You want to go play sticks with me? That's how I'm seeing. They're all kind of melding and learning those skills of just, instilling in them how to just be normal people.
Yeah.
Normal adults.
Yeah, we found that interesting in our situation. Excuse me, Jason and Josh were in public school. It was a school right down the street, a walking distance. It was really easy, real nice. And we sent them there for a couple of years. And for a couple of reasons, we decided to make a choice to go ahead and go for the home school route. We had done it before with the older kids and thought it was a good idea for them at that point. And one of the first things we noticed is that the sibling fighting and rivalry decline tremendously since they were both in the home all day, every day. And you think, well, you think they'd fight more because they're around each other more, but somehow being in school, they kind of viewed themselves as being a part of their class, and the other one was kind of like in that other class. And they just, especially the older one, tended to look down on the younger one. And when they got home, amazingly, in our situation, the two of them became best of friends, and they have been for the rest of their life. And even though later, you know, I said we sent Jason off to private school and so, but the connection was established between them. That was just an offshoot at what happened with us. Aaron, you had a comment.
So to mention what Andre was talking about, I don't know how my mom did it, but she homeschooled three kids and was a full-time nurse. I don't know how that happened. But she would do things like, before she left for work, she'd wake us up, tell us what we were supposed to do that day, and then leave. And we could go back to sleep and then wake up and actually do it. And we had a network of families that we would go to their house, and they were our best friends, and we'd do school there. And that's also how we socialized a little bit. I would say the negative thing with homeschool is I also picked up all my parents' bad traits, too. Probably more to an extent. I didn't have much structure, and I still don't have much structure.
Yeah.
I'm sure that correlates.
Yeah, and that can be a function of how the parent operates. I know Sandy has trouble making structure, at least especially back then she did. She's gotten a lot better since then. But I kind of would overlook, you know, okay, what'd you guys do today? Let's make sure we got it in writing what you're going to cover. And I kind of provide, because I'm sort of a structured kind of guy. So, but yeah, that is something that the parents have to be careful to provide, because otherwise you do have a shortfall there.
It does seem like most parents, or most homeschool kids, they get behind in school and have to do a bunch of catching up.
That can happen, although it doesn't. I mean, I called a college before we started homeschooling. I thought, what happens when I get to college? Did I not be able to get into a college? I called Harding, grant you, so that's a conservative college. And the guy said, no, some of our best students are homeschool students. And I knew a guy who, this is way back when, it used to be homeschooling was virtually illegal. When we were Roger and Gina, it was technically allowed, but you had to go through some legal loopholes to make it legal. But eventually, like it is now, it's pretty common, and it's pretty mainstream. Not that most people do it, but it's accepted. And the reason that transitioned, I knew some guys who were involved back in that day, going to the Capitol and lobbying for the legislators and so forth. Hey, homeschooling is a good thing; it's not a bad thing. And one of the things he showed was the homeschool kids do well. They're not. The division was, oh, they're just going to stay home and play and do nothing, not learn anything. And that's not in actual practice. That's not how most kids come out. There are those. I told you I have concerns about some, but mostly not. So it just depends. Tim, you had.
Well, I appreciate how you're approaching this, the pros and cons of each category. That's very helpful.
Yeah.
Having gone through public school and going through homeschool, we compare notes quite a bit.
Yeah.
And where the life skills she's talking about and the ability to teach a child to teach themselves is, I'm totally on board with that.
Yeah.
I also see an advantage, though, in having an instructor who knows the subject well.
Sure.
And who has also gone through decades or, you know, years, decades of learning the subject matter, whereas oftentimes the parent is learning a couple steps ahead of the child
yeah.
the subject matter without themselves knowing the full picture.
Yeah.
And so I've seen the advantage or can understand the need to have someone who, yeah, has the certificate, who is trained in that particular topic.
Sure.
But again, that could be remedied through the parent's initiative
yep.
to learn it. To be able to
answer
questions and yeah. the
right source material. Yeah, that's, and another thing is second cousin to that, so to speak, is the ability to learn from other people besides you. You know, just learning from different personality types and different styles of learning. That's a helpful thing to do in life, be able to learn from a variety of people. And if it's just you're the only one, they learn to do real well with you, maybe, if you do a good job with them. But what about how are they going to learn how to learn? Because eventually they may have to go to college or something and then learn that. You know. So, yeah. So that's another aspect.
The danger is if, say, the parent thinks they understand what they're talking about.
Yeah.
They don't.
Right.
And so you're not teaching your kids the right thing.
Yeah.
You've got a bit of a warped perception of...
That can happen. It sure can.
Teachers do.
Well, yeah, that's true. The teachers can be very warped, yeah. Andrea and then Ethan.
An addendum to Andrew was, I was He felt like he was being emasculated, being around all the little kids, and that was a family situation. He was trying, and he was kind of picking up a girl role in helping me take care of these kids when I needed him to. You know, he would do his work, but anyway, that was just a side note. I was going to comment on Allie, and it extends what Tim was saying. You know, if your kid is interested in Chinese, Japanese, all these languages, we can't, as a homeschooler, just run out and learn Japanese real quick so I can teach my kid. Or if you buy the program, it's going to be $1,000.
Yeah.
Homeschoolers typically don't have money just rolling out of their wallet. So an advantage to public school is, especially in high school, there's so many options out there. And we put Allie in public school thinking, well, Paul works there, she'll be protected. We heard, oh, if she's in the AP program, everything will be fine. That's the smarter kids. And I felt like a failure that year as a parent because we threw her to the wolves of that public school. And it came down to not public, secular education is not as important. And I don't want to say Christian education because we didn't go there for that. She gets that at home.
Right.
And secondly, she gets it at church. So she's still getting that, but all of the negative that she got from public school, we had to pull her out. That was just not even an option anymore.
Yeah, you've got to be prepared to deal with that. And with some kids, that doesn't work well, as you're pointing out. Okay, Ethan?
I had two positives to homeschooling through my experience. And this is, for me, it may not even be true for the rest of the Shepherds, and definitely maybe not true for everybody else. But having been homeschooled all the way through high school, and then experiencing 5 years of public college, I feel like I can speak pretty well to this of what I experienced. The biggest advantage, I feel like my parents. Thought and believe that this is the biggest advantage was to be able to monitor and control outside influences by knowing what you see on TV, what you're reading, what friends you have over, what friends we're not having over. And I don't think any amount of positives you can learn from socializing at a school are worth the sin and just immoral things you learn at school. At UALR, everything, all the sin that I learned was not stuff those kids learned at school, at college. They had already experienced all that during the high school ages. And yes, schools vary, public schools, different states. We have people from all over. But I've been around with my dad working very close with a private Christian school. I've been around some of those kids when I was very young homeschooling, and it was amazing the difference of the way my homeschool friends behaved to even them. It was in a very bad way. I was like, wow, I can't believe it. You know, these are, friends that go to the same church as I do, but they go to this private school with, just because they're, private school doesn't mean really anything. Parents are just willing to necessarily pay for it, or it's really close and convenient, but there's still some really bad influences there. So to me, it's not worth it, the risk, if you can manage it at home and know what the textbook's saying, what kids and what all the influence you're having. That's great. Also, on the socializing part, there are people give the homeschoolers a rap for being very shy. And to me, all the homeschoolers I've interacted with, that's not really true, because they're all, they actually have to go out and actively seek out friendships. Because you have your family, brothers and sisters, that's very important, but then you may interact with other people rarely, or at church, or maybe not so much, or good day, let's go to the park, and you find some random little kids or whatever, and meet them as well. To me, it wasn't a problem. I didn't have any, it wasn't a big deal going from homeschool to college and having friends, and I made them. And there's very, very shy kids at public schools as well, and what's their excuse? Well, there's too many people around or whatever, so it's just personality.
Sure, yeah, I think you're right about that. I think it's more personality.
And
more
then, second point for me was I had a lot of online classes at ULR, And to me, that's very similar to the way my mom and dad had to raise us as homeschooled, especially with so many of us at one time being homeschooled. It was, here's your book. If you have any questions, ask. Do the work.
Right.
With so many of my classes at UALR being online, it was order this book and sign in here, look this up, good luck. Basically the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of my school friends struggled with online classes, and to me it was easy. And it was the best thing for me because I worked through my senior year of homeschooling and I continued to work through college, and it was
you just kept going. Yeah.
It didn't make any difference, and I had way more time, and I learned how to manage my time around work, play, and schoolwork during high school, and then I learned how to do that continually through college. So being homeschooled and not having a teacher there all the time and telling you how to do things, you just kind of have to do it on your own. And in college, it's a lot of the same thing. It's just, well, you're growing up now, figure out how to do it. You know, if you have to YouTube something, figure it out.
Yep.
I had to do that a lot.
Yep.
And I feel like that was maybe something people don't necessarily think of as a big advantage, but for me, in the classes I took at the university I attended, that was a very smooth transition, and it made it a lot easier. So.
Okay. Well, that's a good, passionate report from somebody who went through it, and a lot of good points made there, you know, and in terms of the ease of parental controlling the environment and all that kind of thing. I mean, it definitely is a different situation when you're putting them out there in public school. And that's why I said, ultimately, you're responsible. You've got to make sure if you're going to put them in that situation that you're able to deal with those kinds of challenges. And how are you going to manage that? And
well,
that's
an observation. You started your bullet points talking about how we've already talked about the spiritual education.
Right.
You're moving into an academic education.
Right.
You even qualified and said, ultimately, there's a Christian worldview behind that.
Right.
We cannot separate, ultimately, we can't separate Christian education from your general
right.
liberal education, arts, sciences.
That's true. That's true. And yet, you know, obviously, some things are more Word of God focused as opposed to some things are more, you know, outside of that realm. Even though it's going to be connected back to it, it's more indirect. It's kind of the association I would see. Okay, let's take one more, Sarah. Huh?
Oh, no, I haven't raised that.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I'm trying to see everybody. Lots of hands, lots of passion. I knew there would be.
I don't know if it's advantage or disadvantage, but I guess I heard from, like, even when Andre just said about feeling like a failure, you know, having to put out in public school, but I've even heard Rita, the boy's mom, talk about how she felt like a failure all the time because she would never finish the curriculum in a year. It was like she always felt like she was behind all the time because she just couldn't finish an entire book of something. And it's like, so she counseled me, you know, when you're doing your homeschool, don't fill your plate so full, like just lower your expectation because you're not going to finish everything. And I remember thinking, I never finished a book in high school. Like, I remember thinking,
yeah, that's true.
Awesome. Here's my geometry book. We're going to go through all this. And it's like we could start on one chapter and then, like, we would skip one chapter and go to the next. And it's like, I wanted to do all the chapters and I wanted to do them in order.
Yeah. Yeah, that didn't happen. I know what you're talking about.
Even when we started our parenting class, we talked about just ways that we as moms especially can feel like failures. And, I mean, I feel like in any education, there's going to be that temptation to feel like a failure. If you're homeschooling, you're going to think, my kid's not getting enough education because I'm homeschooling and I've got all these kids that I can't just focus on this one kid because I've got three others that are interrupting me for 5 seconds.
Yeah.
But even with, you know, sending your kid to public school or if you have to work, like it's tempting to think, like I'm a working mom. Like I feel like a failure because I can't stay at home and homeschool my kid. Like there's just so many different ways you can feel like a failure, but I think it is just trusting in the Lord. We know our situations, we know what's right for our kids, and just following through with those things and not having a high expectation within our setting ourselves up.
Sure. Well, let me, because I don't want to run us out of time, I want at least, we might not give equal time, we obviously will not, and I expected great passion on that one, but let's just go ahead and give a little bit of treatment of private schools. Anybody want to make a comment about private school? All right, go ahead.
Well, you know, I kind of already mentioned a little bit that, you know, you might be paying for the kids' school, but there's not always going to be the difference from a public school. And I know majority of my experience with private school is peers. I was public schooled, and but a lot of my friends at church were private schooled, and like, I mean, I just saw what they did, and I kind of feel like if you choose the private school route, you have to be very careful to not put blinders on yourself.
Yes.
And I think that's the biggest disadvantage with private school is they're still going to be doing everything that's in post school. There just might be a Bible class stuck in there, and I think that is the class you have to be the most concerned about.
You're right.
Because how it's going to be presented and what they're going to be teaching as truth, make sure your family believes their truth. So that's.
That's
I could probably come up with more disadvantages.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, I think, you know, to me, the private school advantage is kind of what Kennard was talking about in terms of somebody who's certified and an expert that you just, you know, are not going to be able to step up to that level. That's why we sent Jason where we did. We thought about sending him to Christian school. In a sense, it was a Catholic school. Some people would say that's a Christian school, but I don't consider Catholic school a Christian school at all, even though they would call themselves that. What we didn't like about Christian school is that they're just close enough, and yet there's no Christian school that I know of that's going to line up with my theology and my way of thinking, and so they're always about, to borrow one of my dad's old expressions, a half a bubble off in terms of where they are in their theology or what they're teaching, and we were afraid it would be a little bit too hard to distinguish because it's so close to what we say that it might, you know, go past him. We thought with the Catholic school it was going to be obvious. Of course, we did run into an unexpected challenge that I've reported to you in another story I've told about how my son almost started becoming persuaded of Catholicism when I had to deal with that. So that's why I say you got to watch. But I will say academically, that was under the years when, I don't know if any of you know about the Catholic school in town, the boys' school, Father Tribu was a legend in terms of the way he managed the school. Jason learned some academics that are out of this world that year. And he's a bright boy, and it went hand in hand. He did well with it. We sent Josh to that same school. He tried it for a year. Just didn't work for him. He did not like that. We ended up sending him to a public school, and he did fine with that. So let me get public school up here because, again, we're running close on time. Now, let me give you this is not just me. This is Dennis Rainey, somebody that Stephen and some of the rest of you know. He's the head of can we call him the head of family life? I don't know if that's...
Yeah, founder, president.
Yeah. Dennis Rainey has how many kids?
Six.
And early on, we were going to church with him at Fellowship Bible Church at the time. His kids were going through school. Dennis's view was that we as a Christian community should not be withdrawing away from the culture around us. We ought to be salt and light, and we ought to get our kids in public education, and we ought to be out there making public education better by going to the PTA meetings and going to getting involved in the school and making it better for the society around us and being able to connect evangelically to those around us while still learning. Now, that was his take. I'm not affirming or whatever. I think there's merit to what he's saying. I will say that. And there's something to think about.
Henry Blackaby thinks that.
What's that?
Henry Blackaby thinks that too.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, this is a school of thought, and it's not to be completely dismissed out of hand. I think there's something to be said about that. You know, because it is a sense in which we're, you know, as you say, we're being selfish to kind of pull our kids in and build a wall around them and all that kind of thing. And even if that's successful and you feel like you like the outcome, I can see their point. Although, yeah, you get down to this, you don't throw razor blades into a playpen, you know, even though you want your kids to get exposed to the real world. At what point are you doing that? At what point are you, you know, experiencing like you experienced with Allie? That wasn't going that way. She was just being overwhelmed by it. So you've got to make those calls. But that's a factor to think about. So anything about public school that you all want to say? Yeah.
This is more about public and private, but
okay.
I know me and my best friend, we learn better in a school environment. The things that still stick with me today are from the school environment. And I don't know why, like, I just don't do very well reading something and memorizing it.
Right.
So that's just something that you'll have to overcome if you choose homeschool.
Yeah.
But I know my best friend, his schooling route was he homeschooled up to high school, and then high school to college, he went to school. And I don't know, I wouldn't think that influence would be good in that order, but I don't know. Does that make sense?
So what did he do? He did homeschool up till high school?
Exactly.
And then he went to high school at a public school or whatever?
It was a private school.
A private school, okay. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what we did with Jason, mm-hmm. and it worked real well for us, but that doesn't mean it worked well for everybody. Mm-hmm. So.
Maybe because they're not impressionable ages when they get to that point that you've instilled in them enough to be able to choose right and wrong, mm-hmm. and you're trusting them as, like, a young adult. Okay, you're releasing more control and testing them, in a sense, within a boundary. They're not completely
unknown. Yeah. That's why it's individual, because like with Jason, I had that sense with him. And even when he went on to college, he's the only kid of all of our kids that actually completed a college degree and went all the way through. I think all of them dabbled in college for a while. But I guess Josh went to a vocational school. But anyways, he went all the way through college, got taught all kind of anti-Christian classes. And he got his classmates together afterward and said, hey, let's come on over to my dorm and let's study what we learned today in school and let's think about the other point of view. And he would counteract a lot of the wrong teaching because he was that kind of a kid. And I liked that. That was kind of the Dennis Rainey reach out, be salt and light approach. But he was able to manage that. He did that well, and he still does that. He's, as you know, he's a missionary today. So if you got that going on and you can manage it well, it's great. If it's not working, then you've got to get in and shift gears and move things around and do something different. Yeah, Natalie.
Disadvantage coming from somebody who was a teacher, it's hard to individualize education in the classroom setting for each individual child.
Oh yeah, you can't. Yeah.
And it is very difficult. And so kids get left behind, or kids who are really smart don't get enriched, and there's just a lot of things that can happen as a result of having so many kids and having a pressured timeline for you have to finish everything by such and such time, because there are tests that you're giving your kids that are dependent upon what you're teaching them. And so one thing about homeschooling, and this is what I found when my parents, I was in private school for 2 years, and when my parents pulled me home, I was able to go back and pick up the things that I missed when I was in school, because my mom had time to do. She had time to focus on, okay, well, you missed your multiplication tables back here, but you're going to have that to do everything else that you do, so we're going to go back and do it.
Okay.
And I wouldn't have gotten that if I had stayed in school. You know, that would have been left behind. And so that's one advantage to homeschooling and disadvantages to public and private schools, because the classes are so full.
Okay. Yeah.
She kind of even bounce off that. She kind of hit where I was going to head with that, is that I don't think this really applies to anyone in this room, but it seems like for private or public school, there's this tendency to take more of a hands-off approach, almost like how we've talked about how some churches will farm out their children to the youth group, as it were.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, well, you know, the state is in charge of their education, or the private school is, so I can back off because, you know, I've paid for the private school, or I can back off because I trust in this public school for what they're doing. And I think just you're going to have less of a problem in those areas. I still think it's going to be tough, but you're going to have less of a problem in those areas if you're still recognizing as a parent that you have no choice to, I mean, just because they're getting supplemental education primarily through a public school does not mean that alleviates you of your duty.
That's right.
To follow up and make sure. And I'm reminded of Vodi Bakum in A Fight for Homeschooling. He would say, if you're going to send your kids to Rome to get their education, why are you surprised when they come home as Romans? And so,
yeah, I mean, it's like my last point on the previous slide, you know, that bottom point was very important. You're still responsible. So if you do send them off, Yeah, you don't. You make sure they don't come home with Romans. You make sure they get the Romans to become Christians. That's what you're after. And they learn how to fend for themselves in that kind of environment. I'm not saying it's the only way they can learn how to do that, but it's something that they can learn if you are managing it well and you have that connection with your kid and the kid has that personality where they can manage that and handle that. That's why I said each kid, each parent, it's an individual thing that you have to decide. And like I said, having been through all of it, I could tell you lots of stories. I've told you some already, but I think the combination that we did, for the most part, pretty well worked with us. There were some times when we look back on it and go, gosh, I wish we'd done it this way instead of that way. But on balance, I think there's advantages and disadvantages to all of them. But you just got to make sure you don't ever forget you're the parent. You're the one that needs to oversee what's going on regardless. All right, well, I'm running us out of time here, I think, so I appreciate the feedback. We'll give you a chance for some more. We're not done with education. This is just, I figured schooling, we ought to get that out of the way. There's lots of other education that goes on with your kids, so let me pray and we'll let you go. Father, thank you for the lively and passionate discussion. Thank you for the thinking and thought that has gone into this on the part of parents. And just give us wisdom, all of us as parents, to recognize what is the best choice for the specific kid at a specific time, and to bring glory and honor to you and all that we do, as we want to do in everything in our life. Praise things in Christ's name. Amen. You're dismissed.